G'day, family. Welcome to the Rush Hour Sunday session, and we love Sunday.
We do love. Why are you jumping up and down, Jars? Now, Burn, this is where we put together all of our best highlights of the week. How do we fit it all in? I don't understand.
Well, there's 10 things on here. I don't know how we're going to play them all, but I forgot about this. Bluey, you fell in the pool. Well, most uncoordinated thing I've ever seen.
It was hot.
We need to visit that. We had Titus O'Reilly on, the big Melbourne man, comedian. Blue, leave it or not, was back.
Well, how did that make it?
We might just put a line through that one. You can listen to it if you want. And Akmal wasn't happy. He's not happy with the fringe. And the only interview he did was with us. Mm. So you get it here first.
Exclusive.
Enjoy your Sunday.
Now, I played golf first thing Saturday morning, finished, got into my car. On the way home, listen to Triple M footy, North Melbourne taking on West Coast. That was your game,
yes,
Byrne.
Yes, was, yep.
Brian Taylor was doing that, James Brayshaw. Who else was there?
And Kate McCarthy.
And Jay-Z, got to get back out there.
He was down at the boundary, yes. He was there, very excited.
There was a little bit of commentary that just sort of pricked my ears up. It was just about the first little 5 minutes I was in my car and I heard this.
Jeez, Kate, that's a good rig for a young man, Jimby.
Oh, yeah.
Have a look at him.
Yeah, a little Dermot Brereton.
He has got a bit of Dermot about him. The old Metro nightclub's gone, Bristle. It's now a Meridian.
When he introduces himself as Reuben, that might put a few off.
That's the young naming of people.
Come on.
Fancy one.
We saw a reef last night.
Hello, what's your name? Reuben.
So, straight away, though, I thought that's a bit rich, right? Yes, Ruben's a bit different.
But it is different.
But when
he went all day, by the way, with that. Every time we went there, oh, here's a Ruben.
But when BT said that, I thought, well, if it was BT, so what's your name? Brian.
Brian.
So then
Ruben. What would you rather?
Brian or Ruben? Would you prefer?
Oh, I'd like Ruben.
I think I'm going Ruben as well.
But then I thought, because I brought this up to Catherine.
Yes.
And she goes, well, you can't talk. Mm. Greg. She said it was just about a deal breaker when we met.
And Gregory.
Did you introduce yourself as Greg or Gregory? No, Greg.
Greg. Okay.
And then she was like,
Did you have Blewett after as well? Greg Blewett? Because that's what you normally say.
So then I thought about maybe, which I said to her, I said, should I change my name? And she's like, So we started throwing names around. Yeah. So then it finished on Tyrone. She wants me to be Tyrone
Blewett.
Yeah, Tyrone
Blewett. You look like a Tyrone.
And then I started,
I know is Vickery, which you...
like a West Indian name, isn't it? Tyrone.
Darumman.
And then I thought, well, what is Jars? What's another name for Jars?
Yeah,
so
William.
Instead of Andrew Jarman, I thought Neville. Bartos. Neville Jarman.
No,
you're not a Nev?
No, I'm Chopper. William Wallace Jarman.
Chopper, no Cash.
What about Bernie? What do you got for Bernie?
I've got Bernie, so I wanted to stick with B. So I reckon Bernie's got a bit of Benedict about him.
Benedict. Yeah, you have to.
Benedict, like the Pope.
Yeah.
Pope Benedict.
Not much upstairs. That's what Benedict is.
No, if you couldn't be Andrew, not William. What do you think? What does he look like, Bern? You reckon? Is he a?
He looks a bit like a Reuben or a Brian.
And Brian. Yeah. Wrong with Brian.
Anyway,
it's a good question, Greg.
BT having a crack at someone for their
Rich.
Yeah. My name Brian.
It's a 1940s
come on,
name,
come
isn't it?
On, Brian.
Mine's cool names.
Greg's not better.
Like Reef, like Jim said.
Yeah,
Reef.
I see you more as an Elton. Elton Brewer. Yeah.
I'd be happy with that.
I see you as like a Fiona or something.
A bit of a Fiona. I beg your pardon.
Disturbing news has filtered through to my agency in the last 48 hours, family, regarding an individual in this studio called Greg Blewett,
aka
Fungus Teeth, aka Cricket Lips, aka White Teeth, aka Hairy Legs, aka Hairy Plums, aka Hairy Forearms, and one eyebrow.
And shaves his legs.
Okay.
yesterday at 10:16 a.m. Jars, I have something for you. So, Cricket Teeth finally has bought a squeegee thingy to clean the windows. I'm sending you, Jars, the video. Embrace yourself for what happens, and the audio must be, it must be embarrassing for you as you discussed it with Greg how to clean windows and how to do it. Is that correct, Greg? Is that correct?
I cleaned the windows on the weekend. Yes.
You did, right.
Hey, did you, Greg?
Now, Greg, there you are cleaning your windows. Now, I'm going to get this posted so the family can see this embarrassing performance on cleaning windows.
What's happened? At least he's having a crack, Charles.
Exactly. What's happened?
What did you say there? He's having a what?
Having a crack.
I thought, yeah. Now, Greg, please describe your ability to clean the windows with a squeegee. And I told you about the paper towels to clean on the side of the windows.
And you get a special brew for that.
I beg your pardon?
I used paper towels.
Yeah, you did. Good boy.
Don't you get a special mix for that, Charles?
I've got my own mixture.
Well, I had a spray.
You had a spray. I could see the spray here with the video. And this is the second window he progressed to. Honestly, he was actually starting to fatigue because the first window took him an hour in the sun to clean.
The windows are big.
Greg, they're not... Mate, I could do that in 5 minutes, your window. You reckon that took you an hour?
Not that window. That was the last one I did.
Greg.
It is hard.
Now...
It's a hard job.
Describe to Bernie and Tomo and our family out there and our global family what happened when you finished that last window.
Can't be that I cleaned the window,
and
is it?
And your wife took a video of you.
I slipped and I fell in the pool.
No. Sorry. Did you?
Yeah.
You've gone in.
I tell you what, actually,
he's gone in the water.
The first window I did, I thought, oh, geez, I'm getting close to the edge. And then I was a bit fatigued by the time I got to the last window.
And the sun was getting to you.
But the handle of the squidgy sort of went into my chest as I was turning the corner and it sort of pushed me.
You got knocked around by a squidgy.
And then you know what, Jas? I went, that is it. I'm not.
Uh-oh. What's this?
It's the video,
Maybe
family.
Maybe getting a bit closer.
Oh, it's on video.
It's on video.
The whole thing's on video.
It's like living with the paparazzi. So she just films everything. And she's going, you missed a bit there. And she's filming it.
Oh, this is great.
Seriously.
Catherine. Thank you, Catherine.
Catherine.
Keep doing it.
It is hard.
Someone in that's a professional. Pay up.
I have in the past. She's gone a bit tight on
you
me,
You fall in a bag and you fall in your swimming pool when you're trying to clean your windows.
Anyway, no, that was it. Did I tell you that?
What's happened?
Well, that was the last window and it's half cleaned.
I saw some vision as I ran out of time.
The guests were coming over, so it's just I'm leaving like until the professional comes
do,
around.
Do we have our wallet or phone in the pocket?
No, luckily.
How do you fall in a swimming pool? Honestly.
Well, sorry.
You know,
accidents happen.
Stick to the golf course.
Yeah.
Let us men do the real stuff around.
Okay. Well, I'll get out on that golf course tomorrow morning.
Get a real man in for the job.
Legs.
We'll come around and do it for you, Bernie.
Well done, Gleg. Yeah. Good stuff, Gleg.
This is the Raj Hour.
Next guest likes to explore the bizarre.
Ancient Romans had a form of boxing. They would wrap their hands and forearms with leather straps and it would be studded with metal shards.
How many rounds did they go?
They battled to the death.
Oh, to the death, was it? Romans. All old-fashioned, but those were the days.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour, the co-host of Sports Bazaar, now available on the Listener app, Mr. Titus O'Reilly.
Good afternoon, superstar. Welcome to this global Rush Hour. Are you there?
I'm here.
Well, you're fighting ancient Romans, are you?
I was trying to pick something from mixed youth.
Mate, welcome to the show, and obviously very exciting to have you on board and chatting about your new podcast show. Now, we're just talking off air. Greg Blewett, being a wonderful Australian cricketer. Where did you bat as a young man playing cricket for your neighbourhood?
Oh, I grew up in Eltham in Melbourne, so they'd hide me as much as possible. They put me even after the bowlers. That's how bad I was.
Well, 12th man's mixed the cordial.
Did you?
Hey, Sports Bazaar, talk us through that. What's that involve?
Yes.
Well, each week I try and find the strangest story from sport and tell it to Mick. You know, we decided to do a podcast and credit to Mick, he said yes to it before he knew what a podcast was.
So where do you, I'm interested in how you research this sort of stuff. So you're doing all the legwork, obviously.
Mick could do nothing.
And then Mick just comes in with a couple of special comments, does he?
Basically, that's it, you know. And he sort of acts as the foil to work out what the hell's going on, you know. And I like to find stuff that, you know, you just wouldn't know. So, you know, even in a story, you know, like one of my favourites in doing research was, you know, about Dennis Rodman becoming friends with Kim Jong-un. which everyone sort of knows that vague story. But I thought, how did he actually become friends with Kim Jong-un? Like, that's the interesting. How did he end up in North Korea in the first place? And I found out that his agent, and this just shows you need to have an agent that knows what he's doing. His agent said yes to a gig in Korea. And then on the way there on the plane, another Rodman's friend said, can I see the itinerary? And he said, yeah, sure, here it is. And he said, this says Pyongyang. And the guy said, yeah, that's in Korea. He says, yeah, that's in North Korea, not South Korea. Oof. And the agent said, are there two different Koreas?
No. Nah, so you go all the way from the cricket pitch, the footy field, swimming pool. I don't know whether that's a strength of Mick, but table tennis is there. What's the most bizarre sport?
Oh, they're all bizarre. I think you get a lot out of snooker's actually a great one. You know, there was a great guy called Jimmy White.
Yes.
Who played in the 80s. Mm. Good friends with Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. Yeah. And one day at a party in Dublin, and it went for 17 days. And every day, UB40 and Thin Lizzy joined the party, and it had just people coming into the hotel every single night, and they were getting sent 20 bottles of Dom Perignon every day.
Wow.
And then he decided after 17 days he better go home, you know, he'd better go back home to his wife. So he got on the plane, flew back to London, got a taxi to his house, opened the door, took one look at how angry his wife was, got back in the cab, went back to the airport, flew back to Dublin, arrived back at the hotel and said, I'd like to check back into my room. And she said, well, the woman on the desk said, well, you could, but you never checked out.
Brilliant. Still going. Brilliant.
What a party.
Oh,
hey, Sports Bazaar, your first episode's out now on the Listener app, of course, and you cover off some ping pong. Can you give us a little teaser on what's on there?
Oh, dear.
Well, table tennis is one of the weirdest sports of all time. You'd think it was kind of a really easygoing and not dangerous sport at all. But one thing they do in table tennis is they apply really strong glue to their rubbers, and the more glue that rubber bit onto the paddle, is the stronger the glue is, the more it expands the rubber and you get more spin and speed coming off it. So they all get the most potent ones ever. And it became such a problem that at one tournament, a guy knocked over his glue and his opponent passed out from the fumes.
We're chatting with Titus O'Reilly. Titus, have you got anything bizarre through AFL football? Now, I know there's a story going around in Stansbury regarding Bernie Vince back in the day playing for the Adelaide Crows. He won a cricket grand final and then was seen standing on a chair singing a club song in his jocks and a helmet on his head. Is there something in that?
Minus the jocks.
I'm sure there's a whole episode in Bernie down the track. Might be a five-parter.
You dumb me in. I've got some stuff on Andrew Jarman too. Hey, how about your beloved Melbourne Footy Club at the moment? Four first-choice players out of the team. Belted the Western Bulldogs. There would have been cheese platters and speak of Dom Perignon. Everything going on. Are we winning the flag?
There you go.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, even more important than the victory is we just signed on Grange as a sponsor. I mean, we're really leaning into that stereotype, aren't we, you know?
And when do the MCC and all your buddies go to the snow mid-year to go and have a holiday?
Crowds dip.
Well, people often say to me, you know, when we were looking at missing finals in the past, people say, time to rent the chalet, Titus. And I'd say to them, rent the chalet. I'm a Melbourne supporter. I own the chalet. We don't need to rent it.
Oh, you're a superstar, mate. Well, no. Thanks for sharing that with us. All the best with Mick Molloy. Sports Bazaar podcast is coming to listener. Thanks for joining us, mate, and we'll chat again.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Titus O'Reilly, diehard Melbourne supporter.
Oh,
I think he was one of your favourite players, Ben.
Yeah, he was one of my favourite players too. I'm confused.
What?
What could it be? Believe it or not, it's Blueies. Believe it or not.
Blueies, believe it or not. Now on Triple N's Rush Hour.
It's a headline the other day, boys, about the male penis. Okay, so listening to this and I'm...
That is it?
It is, and I sort of need a bit of input here because the headline says, penis size has increased in the last 3 decades, but doctors warn it's not all good news.
Hey?
Where's the bad news?
Well, they can be too big.
And we...
I get that.
We are officially...
You get that, do you? You get that it can be too big.
But whoa. So it's only in the last 3 decades, Jars. That's not in your little
me.
Zone.
No,
so,
in my zone.
You're still tiny.
I'm tiny, am I? How do you know?
I don't think we are, Byrne, either.
Oh,
so listen to this. Penis size has grown by 24%. 24%?
That's 1/4, Greg. This is
interesting. In the last 3 decades, but doctors fear it could be a result of poor lifestyle choices and chemical interference.
Yeah, I like this.
Well, what do you like about it? You've missed out.
Oh, so I'm not in this category at all.
No, it's only the last 30. Actually, I miss it.
Yeah. And you, white teeth.
A new study conducted by the School of Medicine at Stanford University and published in the World Journal of Men's Health showed penis size has grown by 24% in the last 29 years.
Right.
Have we got some averages there so we can see how many, how much that is in centimetres?
Well, explain how this has happened.
The research piece involved collecting data from 55,000 men. So that is a lot of penises.
That's a big sample size.
They've got to drop their strides.
Yes. And, I had to do something else because I'll go on. Across 75 research papers from 1992 to 2021 focusing on the length of an erect penis. So it's not just...
No.
So those 55,000 men had to...
Yeah.
Well, they had to perform under pressure.
Under pressure.
Didn't they? Now, when under the study pressure. Began, the average length was...
What is it?
This is probably a little bit longer than you,
Jars. Centimetres or
meters
or foot?
I'll just get
foot.
Average length was 4.8 inches, which 4. Is 12.1 centimetres. You're
bad.
Below that, Jars. I've seen you. Which has
six
grown to 6 inches.
What?
15.2 centimetres.
15?
What are these youngsters saying down there?
15? That's why they don't have a shower. These footballers don't shower after a game anymore. Well, if they do, they're in their jocks.
Well, they do damage. They swing that thing around. It takes a few tiles out.
I recall a young lad that when he first arrived at the Adelaide Crows could be in that category there, Gregory.
He may or may not work at
the
station.
And he's on the Adelaide Crows board. He did give me a corky one day in the shower. Yeah.
Now, the good old Doc suggested factors such as exposure to endocrine disrupting chemicals like pesticides or hygiene products could be interacting with our hormonal systems. But he did say we thought there could be a decline in penile length due to the same environmental exposures, but he was absolutely gobsmacked that it went the other way.
This is fascinating.
So the size of the schlongs went from
12 to 15.
Bit longer than yours, Jars, to a whopping... What
something
was it,
around 15? That.
And don't look at Byrne with a whopping thing.
Is that interesting? I'm glad I wasn't
your
born
sons,
in this era.
So your sons could be in this
question. I've got a question. How do you get on the... In the group of 55,000,
what do you do?
They just ask
around.
Do you register? I think so.
Is it just a party? They go get everyone.
Do they go to Hugh Hefner's house?
Pick the names out of a hat.
Well, it's a secret ballot.
Pick a name out of a hat.
But
Bernie Vince.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're up,
Tomo.
Coming in
from Meadows. Mark Rusciuto. Oh, hang on. No, we don't need to say. Chris Dittmar.
Mate, Rusciuto, no, you'll throw the numbers out.
I'm quite happy that I was born more than 30 years ago because how much can you pack in one set of undies?
Oh, I don't know.
Seriously.
And that's fascinating news. That is fascinating news.
Jars? Start consuming pesticides or something.
Come on the boom spray with Dad. You stand behind, we'll run over you.
Our next guest has plenty of stuff to say.
The big one is Jeffrey Bezos. He basically went the smallest percentage to space that anyone has ever been. Tony Modra went closer to space than Jeff Bezos has gone to space.
And you can hear some of that stuff on his Two Guys, One Cup podcast, which you can download now on the Listener app. But not right now, because he's about to come on. So please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour, Will Anderson.
Oh, get around him. Get around him. Should have played on the weekend for the Bulldogs. Might have kicked a goal or two, but welcome, young Will.
Oh, but mate, that was only a practice game, though. Like, first round is this weekend. We're looking forward to playing the Saints in the first round. It's going to be a good start to the Bulldogs. Yeah. Everything's fine. Yeah. We're fine now because Rory Lobb is out. And we'll be okay now. He's having an operation and we should be fine. The Bulldogs have done that classic thing, which we do over the years, which is we recruit a guy who only plays well against us. Yeah, it's great, but he's never going to play us again. Like, he's going to do well in intra-club matches, but he only ever kicked goals against the Bulldogs, and now he doesn't even get to play the Bulldogs anymore.
He's very good at training, Will.
Mate, he is going to dominate in the twos. Get him on like the actual AFL arena. No, I mean, I actually think one of the other Bulldogs players stepped on his ankle to make sure that we'd be all right for the next three.
Kicked him in the showers. Hey, Will, be careful. That was the Anderson Vince Cup, and I've won it again.
Oh, yes.
I mean, again, Bernie, making it all about you. Like, the further it gets away from your playing career, the more you are just grasping onto any association with the Melbourne Football Club that you have had. Like, I mean, you are the new Billy Brownless. I'm noting it now. Like, I always thought that Billy was the worst. Like, just hangs around the Geelong rooms looking for discards. But you are the new Billy Brownless.
Well, I took that well.
Hey, Will, tell us about this first episode. Now, Brian Taylor is amongst it. Now, he was unhappy with Ruben Jinley. Wasn't happy with his name. But what did you discuss in regards to BT?
Did you see when Gary Rowan kicked that goal in the Geelong match and BT just said, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful that you want to kiss it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what you're doing at home, BT, with, like, I mean, I've seen that picture of Matt Rowe with 52 Sharons in his room, which to me, again, is a little like when they find a serial killer's lair in one of those movies and they've got all the red strings like connected to each other. Like, when a dude's got 52 like footballs in his bedroom. That's not an obsession with footy. That's a kink. That's something that you find on an adult website. Like, you Google redheaded dude, ginger pubes and Sharons, and that's what you'd find. You'd find little Matty Rowe.
Hey, when you were saying before you were Googling, lucky you didn't Google ginger pubes and Sharon instead of Sharon.
Leave
it out of
the damage that Ed Sheeran has done to the AFL venues. Like, surely there has got to be, like, I mean, this man has been sabotaging. Like, they're saying that they needed 100 trucks to put his, he plays a foot pedal. He's got an acoustic guitar and foot pedal. Why does he need 100 trucks? I could carry that stuff out there in a pair of moccasins and not damage any of the turf. Ed, calm down.
Who else you got in the gun? I see you ran into Brisbane Lions coach Chris Fagan.
Oh, mate, I was at the Virgin Lounge, the sponsors of the AFL, of course, and the Brisbane Lions were flying down to Adelaide. And fair to say, they're in their full uniforms and they're in the Virgin Lounge and there was literally no person who approached them. Not one person approached can you imagine an AFL player in another state being in their uniforms in a lounge and people not bothering the shit out of them? And I thought, you know what? They need to be bothered. So I'm going to be the person who goes and bother them. So I shuffled around that room and I bothered Charlie Cameron and I bothered Josh Dunkley. As a Bulldogs fan, I bothered him quite a lot, I got to be honest with you. Really enjoyed those three kicks.
This is after the game.
He did too.
Good three, though.
The AFL podcast, Two Guys and One Cup. Now, when will you start targeting some very dangerous people here in South Australia for the podcast? Because, as you know, we're a traditional football state. We basically are the home of football. We have the best venue in the world. We've got two football sides that are going to go okay this year, William, but is there anyone in your sights moving forward with this podcast, please?
Well, I mean, firstly, I've got to say, I'm I quite like both the Adelaide teams. I just spent some time in Adelaide for the Adelaide Fringe.
Yes,
thank
you did.
Thank you all for coming to the show. I appreciate your support.
Oh, you didn't come in the studio.
Really, that good to see your faces smiling and laughing there in the... Couldn't even get you there with a free ticket. So thanks very much. It's been nice to be part of the team, you know. Like Bernie, he'll go and celebrate with like a team he didn't even play in at the end of the match, but he can't get along to free to one of my gigs at the Adelaide Fringe. Apparently can't come and sit in a tent in the gardens for an hour. Can't, too busy to come down and support one of your mates, but that's okay. Good to see that you've got my back in that situation.
My wife doesn't let me go anywhere, Will, either. I'm,
what?
She won't let me out of the
you
house.
You went to Simone.
No, I did not. I did not.
Will's a buddy Triple M boy. We should have supported him.
We didn't
have the
in.
Free tickets.
We didn't come in, so I'm not going there.
We had Lano and Woodley.
Oh, well,
oh, we did. We did. We're waiting for you.
Mate, well, I love it. I'm excited about Port Adelaide in particular. Right. Good to see, because I'm a huge Ken Hinckley fan, and I'm very excited about these buses that are going across the border. And I love the fact that the Port Adelaide fans and the Collingwood fans can even come on these buses to go across the border. I mean, what a great morning that is going to be. Yeah, when you've got those Port Adelaide fans and those Collingwood fans arguing over who gets to steal the bus. Like, I mean, this is a big morning. One will be hot wiring. Yes, one will be mugging the actual driver. It's going to be a real meeting of the minds. Everybody wearing the same jumper. I think they should play, like, Port should play in their prison bars.
Yeah.
Collingwood should play in their prison bars. 30% of the audience has either been to prison or will be to prison after the game. So, like, it is a great theme for the match.
Don't you dare go down Alberton. They'll be waiting for you.
Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
No. Don't you know who that is?
Don't you?
He's an
Jake
absolute
Lloyd.
Star.
He's a champion.
Come on, Will.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but come on, guys. Like, that's Jake Lloyd's ability. I think Jake Lloyd is a different guy every week. Like, I'm not even sure that mustache is real. I feel like he just bungs it on so that people don't know who he is.
Sticks it on.
Now, mate, what about the bump? Do you want to keep it in the AFL? Do you want to ban it for life? And when you played as a wee footballer, scared little outside wingman back in your Victorian side, did you ever get knocked out or did you put a nice shirt front on someone? Nice
well, Charles, this is how little you know about my stellar junior career when I was an absolute gun of the under-13s and under-14s because I was the same height as I am now, 6'2.5". Turns out I just didn't grow. And in those times when you're meant to be developing skills, I didn't need to because I was bigger than everybody else. And so they really caught up with me. So no bumps.
Will Anderson, you're a star. Make sure you come to the studio when you're in Adelaide next and let us know when you're at the Fringe
always,
again.
Guys, you're always there for me. And the wind beneath my wings. Thank you.
I'll come next time.
Take care, mate. There he is. Our very dear friend, Will Anderson. The AFL podcast, Two Guys and One Cup. She's back again for 2023.
Love it.
Brilliant. Take care, mate. All the best.
Thank you.
And what a love Will Anderson is too, isn't he? Don't we love him? Good. Wish him all the best.
You got cramp?
Oh, look, what's happening?
He's cramped up.
Just seized up.
Hey. He's cramped
You're
up.
Not eating enough salt.
Hey, the
magnesium.
You'd still,
magnesium.
Still beat the Crows. This golf's a tough game.
It's not a tough game.
Oh, come on.
You left Hammy. What's wrong? She's popped.
That's the first ever time I've got cramp in
and
a hamstring.
And you know what it means? You've got to stop playing. You're done.
I get it in my car.
Go and spend a bit more time washing your windows.
Can I have the rest of the day?
No, you're not. All you do is sit around
all
here.
All the Giants cramped up and they beat that late.
Do you want me to massage you?
Continue on, please.
I'm right. Do you want me to massage your left hamstring?
Why don't you want me to hold your leg up and stretch it?
Are you wearing jocks?
Yeah.
Because I'll massage. No. Now,
I'm all right.
What are you going to massage? I've been stewing on this for about 3 or 4 weeks.
What, Jazz?
And I haven't been sleeping that well because I've been concerned about this individual who hit my car 4 weeks ago in the car park.
Oh, yeah. That was over a month ago.
You remember that?
Yeah,
the car park here, auto park.
Yeah, that's
here
right.
On, what street is this? Franklin?
Franklin, yeah. Street. You've been working here 25 years.
And honestly, because they don't have cameras.
No.
Right, in this
he
car
He left
park.
A fake number, fake rego, didn't he?
Mate, I was gutted.
And you rang the car
and
park
I rang the
owners?
Car park. They gave, they just, they were, to, didn't care.
Cameras,
they just,
dismissed
well,
it.
Make sure, well, they just gave me nothing back. Right?
And he said,
nothing. So, and my car's banged up anyway.
It
so
is.
I've had to go and make and sure I rang the insurance people, the whole lot. This individual left this note on the windscreen. Yeah. Bern, you're with me.
No, I loved it. And I thought, you're lucky. Don't complain because you were filthy. Someone's hit me car, I go, you're the lucky one. At least I've left their name, their number, their rego.
Right. And the name,
very
Bill.
Lucky ones.
He left his name, Bill.
That's it.
Right. So, and anyway,
I thought, well, I've got to follow this up because Marion keeps saying, get the car fixed, sort it out.
This is before I got hit, by the way.
Before, yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Well, I've been, so about 4 o'clock today, I had a missed call.
No. No.
And I didn't answer because obviously we're coming to air.
Yeah.
We were going we're to air.
We're on
family.
Air. Coming to air.
Well, we're coming to go on air.
Coming to air.
And we started at four, so we're 7 minutes in.
I'm feeling really
Hang
good.
Hang on, try that again. Coming to
coming
air.
Coming to air.
Now, 4:07. 4:07.
On air.
Yep. I had received a text message.
Yes.
From.
No.
The individual no. that hit my vehicle.
Bill. Not Bill.
Yes. Now, on Wednesday, the 22nd no. of Feb, right, 8:39 a.m., right,
yes.
this is my text message to Bill. The individual, Bill. Mate, I'm trying to call you regarding my vehicle being hit last night in car park. Waiting for a call back. Thank you, Andrew Newton Jarman, so a.k.a. William Wallace.
So your text made no sense.
Well, didn't it?
Well,
at least it did.
Not bad. Tomo, that's not bad.
Message today, 4:07 p.m.
A month later.
Cheers, mate. Not avoiding you.
Well, he's
that's
real.
He's
that's
back.
It. He's real.
He's not. He's real. He's got a pulse.
Bill's real.
So you're going to, when are you going to ring Kill Bill?
As soon as I finish the show at 6 p.m.
Right. And report back to us tomorrow.
I will ring Bill. And right. he did leave a message. It was a bit blurry. I couldn't really hear. I don't really. I shouldn't play it on air. But I, no. he was a little okay. bit. Sound okay. like
well,
he had
well,
a.
Let's play it.
Sound like he had a. You know.
Oh, a couple of.
He had a couple.
A couple of. Grandpa's old cough medicine.
And there was some message called Darren in there.
No.
What?
Hang on.
I'll give you an update tomorrow.
You're yes. telling me
yes.
that it's taken a month
correct.
And how many hundred calls have you? You were calling him flat
I'll
out.
I'll bring all my police mates, my detective mates.
Everything.
All my other contacts underground mates. So I've done everything.
He's waited a month just to let the dust settle a bit?
4:07.
Someone's pranking you.
Hey, Greg, what about the return text? What did it say?
I'm not avoiding you.
Well, what else?
What are you doing, Bill?
We tried.
What are you doing?
Next guest recently joined us to discuss his upcoming Fringe show.
Why are you back, Al?
Because I wasn't careful with my money when I was younger.
But dark days are ahead. Holy shit, Agmal, please tell us our f***ing tents haven't ruined it. Ugh. Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour.
Should be like the Rush 20 minutes.
Agmal.
Good afternoon, great man. Welcome to our show.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for wanting to talk to me. You're the first people who decided to talk to me after the debacle.
That's because we love you. We are really disappointed that the news came out and you've sent a letter to the advertiser regarding the Adelaide Fringe. Explain to the Rush Hour family what had happened because,
all right.
mate, you're the heart and soul of the bloody Fringe.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. They don't think so. They think I'm the asshole of the Fringe.
What happened?
No, I just want to clear something up at first that people online got wrong. I never said I'm not coming back to Adelaide. I love Adelaide, and I actually love the Fringe over the years. I just think that they're ripping the general public off in the last 5 or 6 years. But what happened was there's no thought given to placing the venues. Let's place the loudest show in the Fringe next to a guy who just talks. Let's see what happens. What could possibly go wrong?
No.
And it was really weird. The first 2 weeks they did the show and it was fine. Because you're used to sound coming through. I've done this. It's probably my 12th Fringe, you know. I'm well accustomed to noise coming through. But then by like halfway through the second week, they just turned it up to 11. To the point where the stage was shaking. Like I had a bottle on stage, it was shaking. It was like performing in a nightclub with the music still on. And I've got a lot of bad memories about nightclubs when I was young because I always got rejected by women. You know, remember before Tinder, you know, when we were young and I'd go up to a girl across the dance floor and she can see me from the corner of her eyes. As soon as I get anywhere near her, she turns around and she's like, I've got a boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So you know what it's like.
It just brought back a lot of bad memories. Yeah. But more importantly, it was almost impossible to do the show, right? Because it was just too the people couldn't hear me properly. I asked them to turn it down, and I said, just take it to the level that it was in the last week and a
right.
half.
Yep.
The next night they turned it up even more.
Oh, no.
I went, this is crazy. This is war now. This is war. They're doing it intentionally. I feel like Ukraine and they were Russia. You know, they were a lot bigger, a lot more powerful, and they were the aggressors. But at least Ukraine's got the UN on their side. I called the UN. They said this is not our problem.
So Akmal, is this normal? Like, do the shows normally support each other, or is there a lot of competition? Look, does it get feisty amongst you guys?
This is the only time that this has happened, and all the time that I've been here, you ask someone. But it's just bad planning, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I felt really sorry because there was like three shows where I had to ask people to please ask for your money back. I don't feel right taking money. Because luckily only half of them did. But but I felt really guilty that I couldn't perform at anywhere near my best because it was just ridiculous level. And I explained this to them and I wrote them a letter. And after the day, what happened was, I think I sent you the letter.
We've read it. The whole lot.
Yeah. It was reasonable. And then with a warning at the end, they viewed it as a threat. I said, no, it's not a threat. It's like a warning that you see on the cigarette packets. Warning. This is what might happen. I said, please, let's be a community. Let's work with each other. Let's compromise and take the sound back to where it was. But if you do have the sound as loud as you did last night, I'm going to come into your tent. I have a megaphone.
Yeah.
I didn't have a megaphone.
No.
I didn't have a megaphone, but they did. They turned the music up. This is it. I went crazy. I went nuts. And I thought, that's it. I need a megaphone. I got to get... Do you know how hard it is to get a megaphone?
They're not easy.
Then at short notice, if you want a megaphone, you have to travel. I went nuts because I couldn't sleep that night, right? I thought, this is so unfair to the people.
Yeah.
The cab fare cost me more than the actual megaphone.
Oh, no,
anyway, I got the megaphone and I said... And I walked around with it just to make sure that they saw me.
Yeah.
And everyone... they were doing all their... But you know these actors who do these breathing exercises, and as they were doing that, I walked past with this gigantic megaphone, and they went really quiet. Like, anyway, they kind of behaved themselves for another week.
Yeah.
On the last night, I had the megaphone on stage, and I did a bit about it. I said, look, this is like a nuclear bomb. You don't ever want to have to use it, but it's a really good deterrent, right? And because they were good, I put the megaphone backstage until the last night. I had a feeling that something was going to happen on the last night because they just were so vindictive. And sure enough, 5 minutes into my act, my room became a nightclub again. I went, that's it. I'm going back. I've got a megaphone. But what I didn't know was they snuck into my backstage and took the batteries out. I walked off stage. I got off, went across to their tent, and yelled into a piece of plastic, which did nothing. I looked like an idiot.
You can make a movie out of this, Akmal.
Yeah.
Quite seriously, think about this. Say, it's quite a rip-off in a way. Say a family of four who want to go to the Fringe.
Yeah.
They buy four tickets. That's a couple of $100 right there. Plus, car parking or taxis or babysitters, all that. And then you get in the park where, you know, it's excessive. The bottle of water is $7.
Yeah.
And so they've paid all that. And then they line up and they get into a hot tent for an hour to a show that is impossible to do.
Yeah.
That is a ripoff.
Yeah.
That is a scam. Even families who own above average wages, it's still quite a fair bit
of
money, you know, and they're just showing no respect for the people, and it's been getting worse. And I thought, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to be a part of this ripoff that's taking place.
Stay strong, mate. There he is.
Akmal's only Adelaide interview on 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M.
Okay, now I need your undivided attention. Before I go into an incident that happened yesterday on this show, I just want a little shout out to my two other children. I've got Mad Dog
and Braden. All right, they're listening. They've tuned in.
So
Mad Dog,
yeah,
that's her nickname.
So you got Charlie, Braden. Riley, and Mad Dog,
and Stefan,
and Braden.
Why are you sending them a cheerio?
Because they're my other kids. Now we do a quiz.
What? Weird.
We do a quiz, right? Every day,
yes.
5 days a week, to give away $1,000 thanks to our very dear friends,
Auto Masters.
Right. Now we take pride in the questions. We have a researcher who does all the questions to make sure we get the correct answers and making sure that we've got the correct answers on our sheets. Correct?
No, I don't.
Well, no. Honestly.
I read the questions that are down for me.
It was embarrassing what I heard, and I thought about this on the way home yesterday from this show, is that... oh, wasn't it?
You've already stuffed
it. Have you got this right?
I thought it was the quiz.
Oh, no.
You've already started. Okay. I need a spot.
No wonder. No wonder you knew he was
that. It was the quiz, you junkie.
I knew he was that
Stop talking about too much.
In and out of the studio four
times. Yesterday on the show.
Start again.
You, Greg Blewett, owe us and the family, and you, Greg Bernie Pitts, and you, Tom.
That's it.
No,
that's it. And you, Tom. I can't handle this. Have we got this?
This is what you said yesterday, Greg Blewett. Have a listen. Where is the Niagara Falls, Greg?
It's in Africa.
Jars?
Good call. It is, actually.
I've been there.
And who did you go there with?
Well, Steve Waugh, Ricky Ponting, Shane Warne.
I've had a guts with it. Now, this was in Burns Fun Facts.
No! No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was in the Fun Facts.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I apologise.
Right.
Now, Greg Blewett.
I went to the Victoria Falls. Not the Niagara Falls.
You know where Niagara Falls are, don't you?
Yeah.
Where are they?
States.
You don't even know where they are in the States.
Well, where are they?
They're in Canada. Yeah, chunkhead. I knew that, but you
I
go.
Knew that.
Oh. And you ticked it off.
No.
So you to blame, Tomo. You went ding. You said yeah.
Fool's Festival.
They're in Fool's Festival. So
actually, when I said it, you
was
went
very gobbled.
Well done, Greg.
Okay, well done, Greg.
I was the only one thinking. Hang on, that's not right.
Oh yeah.
Hang on. What did you say after? No, I went to the Victoria Falls. Good point. Good point.
Well done, Joe.
Thanks for pulling me up at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, knucklehead.
Hey,
I've got to lie down.
You know what? Why don't we put that question in the quiz today just so we can combine all bloody stories? This is. Look at him. He's saying get rid of us. He wants to get rid of himself. He goes, cut it down. I apologise. Family out there, I apologise. Some people can and some people can't tell a story.
Can't. Jar's Diary. All right, found another one for the family. We're going back to 1980, March the 11th.
Like it. Hey, that's we're not far away from that being how many years ago?
A long time ago. Yeah. Have a listen to this one.
43. Let's have a listen.
Dear Diary, I've made a big discovery. You see, physics works. Mr. Tuffle's been teaching us this week about this German bloke. I think his name's Frank. Anyhow, this bloke discovered that every action has an equal and an opposite reaction. I didn't really know what that meant until tonight in the kitchen with Mum. You see, Mum brought home an apple pie and me and Darren were just hanging out for a piece. That's all. But we had to wait. And Darren had to feed Schooner our dog first. While he was doing that, Dory, I decided to have a bit of fun with the paper bag the pie came in. I turned my back on them, blew it up, and bang! That's when the physics arrived. Darren almost wet himself. Schooner did, the dog. Mum got such a shock she knocked the pie onto the floor. Schooner got stuck into the pie, then Mum got stuck into me. I got sent to my room with no dinner, but at least I didn't miss out on the apple pie. And that German bloke, Frank, I think his last name was Einstein. Yeah, that's it, Frank Einstein. Good night.
It's a true story!
You remind me of Einstein.
The Rush Hour.
Frank.
Thomas, get to the highlights.
Let's go to the highlight tapes. This is the best and the worst part of the show from this week. Let's do it, family. Enjoy.
After a big week on the Rush Hour.
I didn't answer because obviously we're coming to air.
Yeah.
We were going we're to air, on air. Family.
Coming to air.
Well, we're coming to go on.
Coming to air.
It's time for the highlight tapes. Footy season is finally back, and with it are the insights from the game's sharpest analyst, Andrew Jarman.
You get butterflies, and that round week, or week one, we're going to preview the round one.
That was a three out of nine in my tips.
No, previews before it happens.
Previews before it's happened, reviews are.
Looking forward to Jars' preview of the 2017 grand final. I think the Crows are a big chance. Jars was also full of praise for Port's round one win, especially after last year.
This time last year, you know, Norton 4, Norton 5, so you're on a good start.
Gee, Norton 4 after round one is a bloody tough start to the season. But if you think that's confusing, I'm still getting my head around Sunday's game.
Adelaide Crows play the Giants.
GWS. Sunday, 12:40.
Yep.
Very important game for both clubs, isn't it, really?
Well, correct. Yeah. Three clubs.
And Port Adelaide. They're the third club.
What, in that game?
It's very important for that club as well to have a win. Okay.
What way would they kick if they won the toss?
They'd kick north.
To the wing. Somewhere
north. I think the standard of analysis is going hard south. So let's move on. It's been a tough week for Greg Bourg. Or should I say...
Is that correct, Greg? Greg? Gleek? Is that correct?
Gleek had a bit of an issue cleaning his windows.
Uh-oh. What's this?
Is this the video, family?
Mate, you're
getting a bit closer.
Oh, it's on video.
It's on video.
The whole thing's
on
video. It's like living with the paparazzi. So she just films everything.
But unfortunately, the falls didn't end there.
You got a cramp?
Oh, look, what's happening? He's cramped up.
He's seized up.
Hey. Oh, he's cramped
you're
up.
You're not eating enough salt.
Cramp. Also this week, Will Anderson stopped by to give Bernie some feedback on piggybacking off the Melbourne Demons.
Hey, Will, be careful. That was the Anderson-Vince Cup, and I've won it again.
Oh, I mean, again, Bernie, making it all about you. Right? The further it gets away from your playing career, the more you are just grasping onto any association with the Melbourne Football Club that you have had. Like, I mean, you are the new Billy Brownless. I'm having it now. Just hangs around the Geelong rooms looking for discards, but you are the new Billy Brownless.
I took that well.
And before we go, here's how the boys gave our valued sponsors their money's worth this week. Let's hope they paid up front.
My favourite movie, John Wick, is back, chaps. You there? We started.
Oh, we started.
Oh, I didn't hear. Come on, that's put you out of order.
Is that it?
Because you're going to repeat that whole thing again?
There was no enthusiasm at all.
Yes, there was. All right, sorry, Tom.
Ready when you are, boys.
My favourite movie, John Wick, is back, chaps.
Oh, Keanu Reeves is back as the legendary character for the long-awaited fourth instalment of the blockbuster franchise. Wick's...
Wick... Think of the wine. G'day, it's the Triple M Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Is that right?
That's right.
And we're making it easy and easier.
The ad-lib got him.
Stop it.
He threw to us and then that cooked him. We're trying to pre-record him.
We're going to be way after four. Here we go.
On Sunday, there'll be a special parliamentary sitting and the First Nations voice is set to become law.
So show your support and witness history. 11 a.m. this Sunday, the 26th of March, on the steps of Parliament House. What, am I the only one that stuffs up? What about Knucklehead?
You laugh at me all the time. Don't throw pens at me. You're stabbing. You're just stabbing.
Clean that up, mate.
And that's the highlight tapes for this week.
I didn't record it.
No,
I did.
I was going to club you. You would have been dead.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, maybe I got that wrong. Maybe you are making a few mistakes still.
Silky smooth.
See you Monday, love. Have a good weekend. Triple M's Rush Hour.